My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Yeah.
Final hour of the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Commanders have named their 53, the initial one, of course, by tomorrow, 1 p.m. We'll know more about what they got. We will know more about, what they ultimately will do with the practice squad. So we will get to all of that, the latest version tomorrow. Plus, tomorrow, Anthony, we should have said this throughout the show today. This is a bad, bad hosting job by me. I don't know why I went into like a Minnesota accent for that. The point is, Anthony, that we are closing in on NFL season, which means it's time for the Hoffman Show's annual Fantasy Football League. And how that works is you get to play fantasy football with me and Anthony by calling into the show and telling us why you belong in the league. And we're going to do that tomorrow, and we're going to do it a little bit differently than we've done in the past, which is to say, we typically have just done a whole hour of calls at 4 o'clock, and it's been really great, and people have enjoyed it, and that's fine. But we want to mix it up because we know that a lot of people listen at different times. We're on for 3 hours, and to give, especially those of you that are listening, say at this time, this is your normal commute, and you're still working at 4 o'clock or pretending to, at least your boss won't let you go home yet. Then that's not very fair to you. So we're gonna. I got one more person in mind, Anthony. Potentially to fill out a quote-unquote celebrity spot. So if we have that and we do a 12-team league, that would leave 9 spots. So we could do 3 in the 4 o'clock hour, 3 in the 5 o'clock hour, and 3 in the 6 o'clock hour. And so I think that's the plan for tomorrow. So at 4:30, 5:30, and 6:30 tomorrow, we might have to do the 4-1 at 4:45, but we'll see. Depends on what time Adam Peters gets done with his press conference. We will select who is in the Hoffman Show Fantasy Football League. So the parameters here are not, I've been the 7-time champion of 4 different fantasy. I don't care about your fantasy football accolades. I need to know why you belong in our league. What is your connection to our show? Do you get the show? And if you do, you're in the league. And if not, then I'm going to say, that's great, thank you, and I'm going to go to the next call. So that's tomorrow, 301-230-0980. If you want to save that in your phone now, that way you know tomorrow it's 301-230-0980. For right now, though, Dan Quinn. DQ speaking to the press today after naming his 53-man roster. Of course, Adam Peters, really the one who names that. And the biggest shock, I think, for everybody was what they did at edge rusher. I think a lot of people expected them to try to keep Javonte Jean-Baptiste and Jamin Davis, but not at the expense of KJ Henry, the fifth-round pick from last year who had a good camp and a good preseason. Not just me, Logan, and we talked about how we thought he was on a totally different level than those other guys and it really secured his spot. And then turns out not so much. So why did they keep Jean-Baptiste and Davis over Henry? Here's DQ.
I think, obviously, when you're going into new programs, you're really looking at you know, some things that will change. And, you know, scheme fits and what you're looking for. Sometimes when you're, you know, going into something new, you're looking for different scheme, different fits. But I think by and large, we've really been pleased with what we've seen from Jamin. And that certainly was part of the factor.
I get it. And maybe they think they can get Henry through to practice squad. And they might be right on that. He was a fifth rounder last year. It's not like he was a second rounder. That said, he was a fifth rounder, not a seventh rounder. And he did play pretty well in the preseason. If I'm the Patriots, I'm going, that dude just smashed my quarterback. I know he was kind of unblocked on that play, but he was disruptive on a couple of others. I'm going, wait, that dude's available? Like, we'll bring him in for some depth along the D-line. There's a couple other places that could use some D-line depth that KJ Henry could be a great fit for them and could wind up on a 53. With that said, he works really hard. He's got a great attitude, and it wouldn't surprise me one bit to see him back here on the practice squad. But they like the project of John Baptiste, and they think he's good enough right now to be, I guess, as effective as Henry. They like the project of Jamin Davis and think that for what role they're going to put him in, that he's a better fit. And that's their job. I don't think, like, at the end of the day, we wind up spending a lot of time and energy on these final roster spots because it's what we have to talk about at this time of year. But these guys are, and they're not inconsequential either. It's not like there's no validity to talking about them, but the guys that are going to win and lose you games are the guys whose roster spots were not in question. So that is probably worth pointing out as well. As for how they go into the decision-making process, weighing draft picks, new guys versus the old regime, especially in a time when there were so many players from the old regime that have been sent out one way or another. How did they go about making those decisions? Here was DQ.
Yeah, I think once I took the job, they're my guys too. And so we're always going to make what we think is the best decision for the team, John. That's our obligation. No ours or theirs or any of that kind of good stuff. Like, once I was here, man, I connected with lots of players here. And so, yeah, no looking at anything other than just, you know, what do we need to do best for the team? And really, that's where it starts and ends.
I really appreciate that answer from DQ, although I will poke one small hole in it that's not remotely DQ's fault. There is just a natural human bias towards our own want to be correct. And so if it comes down to two guys that you like a lot, you're probably going to go with the guy that you selected. And that's just how it is. Every team does it. But the goal is to make sure that that's not a driving force, that it really is a tiebreaker, not a driving force. And I actually believe Dan Quinn, especially Dan Quinn, when he talks about that, it's also not his decision. It's Adam Peters' decision. And I'd be curious how AP addresses that tomorrow. My guess is he goes, I thought Dan said it great yesterday. You know, these are our guys too. But that also doesn't delete the substantive argument of the guys that were here were a part of a 4-win year last year. The guys that were brought in by Peters and Quinn were brought in for substantive reasons. They liked something about them. And so, for instance, Javonte John-Baptiste or even Jamin Davis, let's take one of their guys that became our guy because they embarked on a position switch and it became their experiment, right? Our experiment, if you're Dan Quinn specifically, as the head coach in charge of that experiment. They liked what they saw out of Jameis in that experiment to go, this is worth continuing with. There's something they liked in Javonte John-Baptiste that made them draft him. They saw that play out on the field versus, okay, guys that were a part of this 4-win team last year, they might have seen some of the stuff that was a warning flag or a reason why they didn't produce at the level to win more than 4 games. And I know there's a lot that went into the stinkiness that was last year, but I think sometimes we get caught up on the narrative side and don't necessarily evaluate it on the substance of why that narrative exists in the first place. Bunch of guys from a 4-win team versus guys brought in for specific reasons, many of which showed on the field, and thus it is a substantive argument, not a theirs versus ours narrative argument. When we get back, a little bit more from Dan Quinn before we talk about one of the hottest stories in the DMV coming up at 6:30.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. There's a story that has taken over the DMV online. And sometimes online stories are silly, but sometimes things that are being discussed in the TikTok and Instagram worlds are worth discussing. And this is one of my favorite topics. And we also need to defend the DMV, so we'll do that coming up at 6. There, I also saw this story, by the way, Anthony. They were talking about it on the news. So, like, it's off the internet. It is on the airwaves, not just because we're about to put it there. People were talking about it on TV.
It's made its way to Indianapolis as well. Zaire asked me about it.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's reaching, you know, some.
It's got legs, as they say.
Yeah.
It's got legs. It's running. We'll talk about it at 6:30. Commanders, though, named their 53-player roster today. Dan Quinn speaking afterwards and had some interesting things to say, as he tends to do. He's actually a genuinely thoughtful person at the podium, which is great. But one of the interesting decisions that I definitely did not predict, we actually did very well, by the way. We got 49 of 53 players correct. On our 53, we actually, Anthony, got 48 of 53 correct from our initial one that we did before I went to France.
Oh, wow.
So, good job by us. Missed, like, you know, Bryson Tremaine at that point and a couple other guys that were playing well and made sense at the time.
Yeah.
But we also got a kicker to be named later correct. So, what's up on that one? Anyway. One thing that we did not have correct on any of these was them keeping 3 quarterbacks. Why did Dan Quinn ultimately decide that was the right decision for the Commanders, with Jeff Driscoll joining Marcus Mariota and Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, I think as you're going through it, you're just with them. Quite honestly, we like, you know, this quarterback room. And you just want as many guys in the building that are going through the process, understanding the system and working it out. It's such an important position. As you're going through it, you want as many guys in the building that are always developing and always pushing. So no other reason other than just, you know, the talent of the group. And we really felt like these group was really pushing it. And so that was the reason behind it.
I think that what he says first there of we really liked the quarterback room, it actually says a lot. One thing that I would be really protective of if I was this organization is the ecosystem around Jaden Daniels. I'm extremely, now that I feel like I've gotten that pick right, you know, I want to make sure that I got that pick right. Like, we did a good job with the scouting process. We got to understand the person. He fits what we do. He's shown that he's got the talent. He's shown that he's got the makeup. So if he doesn't pan out, it's now our fault. It's not his fault. He's proven that he's up to the task. It's our fault. So how do I make sure that he's got the right coaches around him? How do I make sure he's got the right teammates around him? And a lot of focus has, you know, fairly, I guess, been put on the weapons that he has or doesn't have. And, oh, why don't you go get insert veteran expensive receiver X? And I would say that's a bit overrated. Like, I would rather let him grow into that, and over time, like, let's make some investments down the road, see what we can build through the draft, because that is how Adam Peters wants to do this. But having the right guys, the right voices, the right mentors in the room is really important. And that's why Marcus Mariota is so essential to Jaden Daniels' future. And the hope is that he is his backup for certainly this year, if not multiple years, and never actually has to play outside of, hey, it's Marcus Mariota time because the Commanders are up 30 in the fourth quarter. That'd be cool if we got some human victory cigar Marcus Mariota moments in the next couple of years. But realistically, you hope that Jaden is playing and playing through to the final whistle and things are going great. But having Jeff Driskel in the room and keeping the dynamic the same with him and Mariota and presumably Hartman, maybe McSorley, like, I'm down with that because he seems to thrive amongst those guys. Let's let him continue to thrive. And so, you know, yes, having extra insurance, especially in a year where you're entering it with Mariota coming off this groin injury, is also very smart for the football team. But for Daniel's development, having the right guys in the room, important. As for the wide receiver position, a lot of folks, I think, incorrectly thought that either Bryson Tremaine or Martavis Bryant would make the team. I just thought it was too steep of a hill to climb, slash they didn't perform quite well enough. Bryant, I would definitely expect to see back on practice squad and see if they can continue to get him up to speed. And maybe eventually, if he's out there torching their corners every single day in practice, do you elevate him and see what he can do? Perhaps. But, you know, scoring a touchdown on a fourth corner who probably got cut today in New England, they picked on that dude the entire fourth quarter. Congrats, you scored on not an NFL player, with all due respect to that dude whose name I've forgotten, so I'm doing a great job on the all due respect part. But that's not enough to make the team. But what went into to move on from Bryant for now, as well as the other big-bodied receiver in camp who started hot but ultimately fell off in Bryson Tremaine?
Yeah, Liam, it's two different spaces, really. So Martavis getting here later, obviously, that certainly had a factor on. You know, proud of him for learning, you know, a good bit of the system to be ready to play, especially more extended play time versus New England. And with Bryson, man, he's really putting in the work and has a bigger role on special teams, obviously, to go. And so a number of these guys, Liam, you can imagine, are right on that cusp. And so that's what you're looking to do, is give them feedback about what it'll take to take the next steps. And it's a hard day for a coach or a general manager, because you know, real emotions for guys that are absolutely going for it, that love the game. And so, you know, we want to make sure we spend time with each player. So it takes a long time, but it's really important, and the players deserve it, to give them that feedback.
I'd be so curious to know what they told Bryson Tremaine. And in some ways, Cole Turner as well. Like, hey, you guys came out here and whew, you busted your butts. You really went for it. It's just not good enough. And it might be a production thing for both of them. They have big penalties. Maybe it's a discipline thing. You know, Tremaine, I think back one of the early like DQ moments in camp was him going up to Tremaine, talking to him about like, this is how we line up, like setting the new standard. And Bryson, I think, responded fairly well to that throughout the entirety of camp. But maybe there's just an inner fire and urgency that they don't see from him, that it's like, hey, man, if you can prove to us that this is everything to you, maybe that's it. Maybe it's, hey man, like, we need you to go work on your speed. I know it's really hard, but like, we need you to get a little faster. I don't know what it is, but I would love to know what that conversation is with Bryson Tremaine, and to see if they keep him around and let him try to improve on some of that stuff in the building, or do they let him go and he winds up on a practice squad, probably somewhere else, because he is a guy with the big body, you know, smart kid, obviously went to Stanford, so, you know, comes with certain level of intellect, but plays on special teams as well. He's played some PP, that personal punt protector role. So he could be a useful part of a team on a practice squad that gets called up in a pinch if you need an extra receiver or need a special teams guy. And that could very well include this team. For Bryant, it's more of a what would happen if you gave him more time to learn the playbook and continue to play. And I don't know. He's 32 years old. He hasn't played in an NFL game since 2018. And for a league that's willing to tolerate basically anything, that's telling. And I know that some of that is suspension related, that he hasn't been in the league. But if he was amazing, teams would be fighting for his services. He, at 32 years old, he's just not what he was in 2014 anymore. That was a long, long time ago. Y'all have been listening to me for a long time in D.C. I didn't live here in 2014. That's how long ago that was when he was a rookie with the Steelers, catching 8 touchdowns. So I'm just not surprised on Bryant. On the pleasant surprise front, you had Colson Yankoff, tight end, just really played well. One of the UDFAs, Tyler Owens. I think that was, I would have been surprised by the end if he didn't make it. But what does it mean for Dan Quinn to be able to tell those two undrafted free agents, hey, congratulations, you've made the 53-man roster?
Yep, I'd say both of them really, have the propensity to absolutely go for it. You feel their intensity. You feel their speed when they play, both on special teams and on offense and defense, respectively. So at the end of it, when you're really trying to establish an identity, David, that you've heard me use that word before, I think those examples come back up. The speed, the physicality, the effort, the straining, those are things that are commander-style play, and I thought those two really represented that.
So that's Dan Quinn today talking about all the different decisions that the Commanders have made. Again, they have a lot more to make. They're possibly even working on trades right now. If you're listening live, well, they haven't made any yet because we would have told you. But if you're listening to this later on the podcast or watching on YouTube or something on demand because you couldn't catch the show live, perhaps you're like, yep, they did sure make a trade. John Ridgeway, a name certainly to watch within that realm. And we'll see practice squads, waiver claims, all that kind of stuff gets finalized by 1 o'clock tomorrow. But then there's a whole other kind of trickle down like, oh, team X claims player Y. That means they cut player Z. Well, now the Commanders might go after player Z. So by 1 o'clock tomorrow, we'll have, I would say probably, 50 of the 53 at least should be in place, if not 51, 52. But there's still a chance that some moves get made by, next Wednesday when they rejoin together and get started on week one, Tampa, the prep, the whole deal as they get together as a team. All right, when we get back here on the Hoffman Show, one of the internet's most popular food reviewers came to the DMV. It didn't go great, and we have thoughts. We will share and give you more details if you haven't heard about this next on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. If you want to follow us on TikTok, Anthony, I have to look up and see what my TikTok handle is, to be honest. I don't remember it off the top of my head. But it's growing rapidly. Oh, dang, I got another 100 followers.
Today?
Since the last time we talked about it.
Oh, wow.
I'm at Craig_Hoffman on TikTok because we had a caller who called in and we posted that call on TikTok of him ranting about the Jahan Dotson trade, and it has almost 500,000 views on TikTok. It's got 439,000 views. That's our recent claim to fame. And a lot of people were like, wow, this guy looks like he knows what he's talking about the Commanders. We should follow him. So I got a lot of people that are DMV TikTokers that are now like, hey, more Commanders content, please. And we're like, sure, it's the season. What else do you think we're going to do? And the answer is we're going to talk about TikTok because Keith Lee, who is a very, very famous, I don't think I fully understood. I've known who Keith Lee is for a while. I don't know that I fully understood just how much impact that he had, how much crossover appeal he had.
Man.
Very, very famous TikTok food reviewer. His whole deal is that he shows up to places and gets their food basically quietly. He sends his family in, and he's very family oriented. And he's like, hey, let's, his tagline is like, I got it. Let's try it. Let's rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. He's got 16.5 million followers on TikTok, and he was in the DMV. He might still be here, but at the very least last week was in the DMV, and he went to a number of spots, one in Northern Virginia, a couple in the actual district. He went up to Baltimore. Actually, his favorite spot that he went to was in Baltimore, which caused a lot of ruckus because, is Baltimore the DMV? As we've established on this show, Anthony, whenever it's convenient for either the DMV or Baltimore. The DMV loves to claim Angel Reese because she's from Baltimore, but then they love to crap on everything else from Baltimore.
Pretty so much.
It's kind of how that works. But he went to Flavor Hive in Northern Virginia, which is actually a cool spot. He went to Okonomi Asian Grill in Fairfax. And then all of a sudden, Okonomi Asian Grill in Fairfax, nobody could go there because they were so overwhelmed. That's kind of what happens. He goes somewhere and his followers are like, well, I got to go too. And places go from potentially even on the verge of shutting down to like the most popular spots in town. He's literally saved businesses. So what the work Keith Lee does is truly tremendous. His mission is fantastic. He, because he's made so much money on TikTok, he is now very rich and he is very, very generous where he will leave thousands of dollars in tips and also thousands of dollars to be like, hey, here's $4,000. The next $4,000 of food is on me. And so, for instance, one of the spots he went to that was very controversial, we'll talk about this in a second, but he went to Hong Kong Carryout in Southeast DC and then like literally went outside in the middle of Southeast and was like, everybody go get food. Like it was literally walking up and down the street being like, hey, there's food paid for. Go to Hong Kong, get whatever you want. So the work he does is fantastic. He's very authentic. He's very positive and uplifting. I don't know how he does his... which recommendations he's going to take. So this kind of blew up because Keith did a video that stated that he went to 12 spots in the DMV. They've posted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Actually, they went to more than that. There's like 12 places that he went to that they haven't posted the videos yet. And there's some of them that he's not going to because it, quote, in his words, wouldn't be constructive. That the food was bad. There was one place that he went to where the deep fryer, like they, because I think he's got a shellfish allergy and like he could smell the fish on the fried chicken that he got. And they went, his family went back inside and was like, do you fry this in the same oil as the fish? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, that's a huge problem. You can't do that. But he didn't want to out it. Other people definitely did out it. Anthony, should we say where it was?
I don't think we should.
Okay, I don't think we should. Look, it's not that hard. Go in the TikTok comments if you want it. We'll go on Keith's method and respect his wishes. But people were very easy to identify what that place was. And so then all of a sudden, the DMV is getting this rap as a terrible food city. And this is where we step in, Anthony. This is where we step in. I will let you go first as a DC native, as someone who is... more in tune, I think, with a lot of the carryout spots around town. We can go carryout versus curryout as well, as that was discussed in the videos. But as someone who is more attuned, I think, to a lot of the carryout spots around town, spots that you grew up going to, what do you have to say to Keith Lee and to America?
First of all, Keith Lee, I don't know who you get your wrecks from, but the fact you went to Hong Kong on MLK out of all the carryouts in DC.
Curryouts.
Tells me a lot. First of all, there are multiple Hong Kongs, but you don't go to the one on MLK. And I'm not going to, you know, trash.
Yeah, we're not going
to
slander any businesses.
Yeah,
but we're not in the business.
You definitely could have gone to the one on East Capitol, which is probably like 5 to 10 minutes away from the one in MLK, or you could have gone to my personal favorite, Howard China. There are so many more or so many better carryouts that you could have gone to instead of MLK. So I don't really...
I will say people were very proud of his order, although they immediately outed the mumbo sauce as the wrong color.
Yeah.
I saw one TikTok that was like, that red mumbo, yeah. Hey, everyone knows it's supposed to be burgundy. Who knew the burgundy and gold was actually about mumbo sauce?
Yeah, that the mumbo sauce didn't necessarily look too good to me, but you know, he did get it right. Five wings, fries, some mumbo sauce and earth, and you get some salt, you get some pepper, whatever your preference is. I don't really get the salt and pepper, but that's you know, neither here nor there.
Fried heart.
And then also I have a bone to pick with Keith Lee because I feel as though he needs to diversify his palate. To me, it feels as though he only eats soul food and wings, to be honest. That's all he does.
Ooh.
So if you want to complain about, you know, the customer service, first of all, you're going to a carryout. What kind of customer service in D.C. are you really expecting if you're not going to be sitting down in there? And you're just walking up to the register.
Well, I think the speed, the friendliness, like there's especially,
I mean, he said it took 3 minutes.
Well, in Hong Kong, yeah, it was great. Yeah. He was in and out in 3 minutes and you know, hot, fresh, whatever. There's another place they went to that it was like 45 minutes. And yeah, another place they went to where they were like, you know, it's supposed to open at 1 o'clock. It wasn't until 2:15, like whole deal. So, I mean, yeah, like you can grade customer service, but yeah, on carry out, I think to diversify the palate. That's personally my thing.
There it is right there. Let's go, Craig. Let's get into it, man.
So the problem that I have isn't necessarily even with Keith Lee. It's what's happened to the conversation that it sparked, which is that all of a sudden, like, D.C. is seen as this crappy food town. And D.C. is one of the greatest collections of ethnic food in the world. And it is a reflection of our city. D.C. is a place where you can find people from all over the world because people from all over the world come here to interact with the United States government. And they come here and their families might move here. And then all of a sudden they get they open a restaurant or it's just an international city in general. So they know there's an appetite. And over the years, all these different enclaves of people, and especially like you have it within D.C., but the greater DMV area. Now we're talking about truly, like, if you want any kind of food from Southeast Asia, and I'm not talking just Chinese food, I'm talking about food from any region of China. China's an enormous country. I know, newsflash, there's 1 billion people there. You think they all eat the same thing? No, if you want Western Chinese food, Eastern, Southern, Northern, like you can find regional Chinese cuisine. You can find obviously Japanese, like the ones that you can find on some version everywhere. But if how often can you find Laotian? How often can you find all these tinier, you know, Micronesian island type of country? Like, you can find that stuff in Northern Virginia all over the place, and the quality is outrageously high. Some of the best Indian food in America is here in D.C. He went to Dukem, which is great. Longtime family business. Love that. But I think a lot of people in D.C. would tell you the place to go is Taché. And the fact that we have multiple really high-level Ethiopian restaurants is actually the point, not which one you prefer between Dukem and Taché or many of the others. You want Rasika for Indian. You want, like, I could go down the list of just incredible food from all over the world. Sababa for, like, Israeli, you know, Middle Eastern food. You know, right around the corner from Dukem, there's the Greek spot if you want more of the carryout. If you want incredible carryout from the Michelin star level chef, go to Yellow. Yellow, which used to be down here in Navy Yard, they have the Georgetown location as well. Like, if you want the best, one of the best pitas you'll ever had, and it's under $20, go to Yellow. Like, there is Stachowski's Deli in Georgetown. Like, yeah, Keith Lee would not be psyched about the customer service there. Getting a sandwich takes forever. That's why they ask you to order ahead online. But if you want a legitimately great, like, delicatessen-style, thick-cut pastrami or turkey or whatever sandwich, they got you at Stachowski's. Again, a little more expensive potentially than $11.95 at Hong Kong carryout. But, like, you have, of course, what D.C. was known for a long time, which is it's an expense report town. So, you have tremendous steakhouses that are ridiculously expensive. You have, you know, Bazaar by Jose Andres and Pineapples and Pearl and, like, fine dining out the wazoo. There is incredible Bresca and Jaunt, like, Michelin starred all over the place. But if you know this city really well on the food scene, you also know where to eat great for $20 or $15 or $10. And I guess that's the thing that I don't want to say, like, I'm mad at Keith Lee. I'm throwing down the gauntlet on a guy who's done such incredible stuff and was, you know, sifting through his recommendations and the whole deal. My like true disappointment where I'm bummed out is now that all of a sudden DC seems to have a reputation as not a very good food town. And that unless you want to spend a ton of money on Michelin starred chefs, and that could not be further from the truth.
Craig, I'm not going to lie. You just got at him.
I didn't get at him. I very specifically got at it, not at him. I'm like, I would love Keith Lee to come back to the DMV and let me give you 5 places to go.
And I got a couple for you, for him, right now, actually.
Oh, Anthony's got his phone out. He's ready to go.
We got Jerk at Night.
Okay. These are more even within his palette.
Yes. Bus Boys and Poets. That's low-key a staple in D.C.
It is.
Fish in the Hood. Teddy's Roadie. That's in that's Uptown. You got Highlands, Brooklyn Grill, Smokies. Like, these are just a few. This is just a few. And you're not going to break the bank. You know, these are, you know, $10, $15 cuisine spots where you can go get high-quality food in the D.C. area. So, Keith Lee, if you're seeing this, if you're hearing this, check those spots out.
And I will bougie it up just a little bit to say, like, yes, D.C. has a lot of Michelin-starred chefs. A lot of these Michelin-starred chefs have opened places that are far more accessible than their Michelin-starred restaurants. Again, like, if you want to spend $100 per person, go to Albee. If you want to spend $15 per person, go to Yellow. If you want to spend $100 a person and have a tasting menu, go to Imperfecto. If you, I believe this is the same restaurant group and the same chef. If you want to spend $15 to $20 and get fantastic Peruvian chicken and sides, go to Chicken and Whiskey. Like, we're talking about Michelin star, James Beard level chefs that are like, I want my food to be accessible to the people. And they did it in D.C. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, you're depending on what your definition of carryout is, if it needs to be like, you know, pictures of food on a menu to qualify, then, yeah, some of these places are not it. They're a little bit nicer than that. But the quality isn't, like, it's not like I'm sending you to a chain fast casual. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
But we're talking about some of the best chefs in the world that have decided to make their food accessible. And he's going to places that I don't know why the hell you got the recommendations to go there. Anyway, that's all over the news. Add that to your newsreel, local news stations.
Yeah, but I low-key blame the people that's recommending him to these places, man. Because
I just wanted to. Here's the one thing I'll blame Keith Leon, because they said they do a bunch of research and whatever. I need an update to the research department.
Please.
That's why. And I also know, in fairness to him, he tries to focus on places that may be struggling. He wants to boost their business and make sure that, you know, he tries to save local businesses. And like Yellow and Chicken and Whiskey and some of the places I mentioned aren't going out of business anytime soon. But they're not going out of business because they're awesome. And so if we're going to highlight the D.C. food scene, feels like that should be part of the narrative. Okay, now I'm done. When we get back, real things real people said in real microphones. It's the Hoffman Show, wrapping up here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. All right, Anthony, what was our favorite part of the show today?
Easily the last segment.
I was about to say, we can pretend that it was something that had to do with the 53-player roster, and we've been waiting on that for a long time. But we also know, like, I feel like today's a weird day. I feel like the next week is a weird week because it's like, oh, we're so close. Like, we got the thing. But we know the roster that got named today isn't the one that's going to be the one that opens the season. We spend all this time, like, preparing, and then it's like, oh, my God, can we finally get to game day? Now we have a 53-player roster. Now what do we do between now and Tampa, week one? But defending our city on the subject of food,
mm-hmm.
A pastime.
Thoroughly enjoyed myself.
I have to sit. I just saw, I don't know if I can get it back again. there was a tweet that I just saw. I saw a tweet on Instagram because that's how my life works these days. I don't feel comfortable reading this on the air, but I'm going to send it to you, Anthony. That's what's going to happen. So if you want our impassioned defense of the DC food scene, rewind 20 minutes here on the Odyssey app. Or check out the podcast when Anthony puts it up here in the next few minutes. Other than that, housekeeping, tomorrow, first spots up for grabs, actually all spots up for grabs in our fantasy league. So be thinking of why you deserve a spot in the league. The simple rule is, like, it's not about your fantasy resume. It's about your connection to the show. And why you think you belong in the league. You have to get the show. You have to demonstrate that you understand this very silly radio program that at times is also serious, but is mostly very silly. We take the work seriously, but not ourselves seriously. And if you can demonstrate that you understand that, then you can be in our league. As long as you're one of the first three to call in the 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, or 6 o'clock hour when we open things up. So that's that. Also tomorrow, what do we have, Anthony? Oh, we need to talk about the name, not the team name, because we know what the team name is.
We are the Commanders.
For now, but we need to talk about the fact that it's now going to be called Northwest Stadium. So we'll do that tomorrow. Anything else on the docket, Anthony? Adam Peters speaks. I guess that's the big one.
Yeah, outside of Adam Peters, Oh, nope. I guess maybe vibe. We didn't really do a vibe check Tuesday today. Maybe.
We could all save that for Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see. I think it's going to depend on how extensive Adam Peters is tomorrow.
Okay.
So Adam Peters, make our day. As for right now, let's wrap this thing up.
Real things.
We're not going to be served this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Oh, this is a good one. I'm very excited to let the people hear this. They recorded an edition of The Shop and asked LeBron James about one of his new teammates, the one that he is the father of, and how that's going to work in the office that is the NBA.
Have you thought through, not relationship, because you'll always be his dad, he'll always be his son, but what's your working relationship? Is he going to call you dad at practice in the locker room?
No, he can't. We already laid that down. He cannot call me dad in the workplace. All right? Once we leave out of the private facility and the gates close, I could be dad again. Okay. In the car if we ride together. Okay. At home, I could be dad. No, he got to call me like 2-3 or Bron.
Okay.
Or, you know, goat if he want to. That's up to him. I mean, it's up to him. But it's easy for me. It's easy for me because I've been calling him Bronny for so long. Yeah. It's not like I've been calling, hey son. Yeah. Like, yeah, so yeah, it's yeah. easy for me. It's gonna be the adjustment for him. But we cannot be running down the court and he'd be like, dad, push the ball up, dad, I'm open, dad, come on. Like, no, you cannot do that.
That's really funny, Anthony. We can talk about the more serious underlying things of the nepotism and blah, blah, blah. And we did around draft time, and I think most of it's stupid. But that part of it, that's funny.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what to do if I'm doing something with my... Like, natural instinct is just to be like, dad. Like,
You ever played pickup with your dad?
Nah, I've never done anything athletically with my dad. So me calling him Big Tony would just be... weird.
I feel like you just have to call him Tony.
Yeah, but I feel like my stepmom, she calls me Tony.
Mm. What does Big Tony call you though?
He calls me Little Tony.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a little weird to be honest. I don't know.
Cause like I'm trying to think how that would work. If you're like Tony, 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 I'm open. But I feel like he'd have to switch to Aunt.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I will have to go to Aunt, sadly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You would have to go to Aunt. Yeah, he would have to switch to calling you Aunt.
Yeah.
Why is that sadly?
I'm not going to lie, Craig. So I told you when people call me Anthony, it sometimes makes me cringe.
Yeah.
So when I hear Anthony, it just I feel like I'm in a classroom.
But you can do Aunt. Like just Aunt, not Anthony.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Aunt, it's okay. Cool. We can do Aunt.
Okay. That's what we've been doing on the show. Yeah. So I really, really hope so. If not, we'd have to figure that out tomorrow because we're out of show. So we'll see you tomorrow.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio. See ya.